One of Japan's most ambitious animated movies opens in U.S. theaters tomorrow. It takes its title and inspiration from the 1927 silent picture Metropolis by Fritz Lang. The new Metropolis is a collaboration between three of the biggest names in Japanese animation, two living, one dead. Beth Accomando of member station KPBS reports.
Metropolis is directed by Hayashi Shigeyuki, who goes by the name of Rentaro. His inspiration for the story came from a comic book, but he says his animation was influenced by another medium.
It's really live-action films. I was really getting a lot of influence, especially from American films and European films, European including French.
Yet Rentaro started his career as an animator and worked on the cartoon that introduced Japanese animation to American audiences nearly 40 years ago, Astro Boy.
There you go, Astro Boy, on your flight into space, rocket high through the sky, what adventures soon you will make.
Japanese animation, known as anime, was once dismissed in the West as amateurish and not quite up to the standards of Hollywood. Now, it's required viewing for American animators, says Peter Docter, director of Disney's current hit, Monsters, Inc.
Well, I know it's having an impact on us as the filmmakers, and I have, you know, friends at Disney who see those and go, wow, we're like falling way behind here. We need to catch up to these guys in terms of the complexity and in storytelling and imagery, you know. I think it's really great that it's just creating a more diverse field, and it really is only limited by, you know, the creators' imaginations.
The creators of Metropolis are director Rentaro, screenwriter Katsuhiro Otomo, and the late Osamu Tezuka. Tezuka wrote the original Astro Boy comic books, or manga as they're known in Japan, and in 1949 he created a manga inspired by still photographs from Fritz Lang's futuristic Metropolis. Like Lang's original, Tezuka's comic book Metropolis addresses such classic science fiction themes as the individual's search for identity in a modern world and man versus machine. But Tezuka gave them a Japanese twist, says Jonathan Clements, co-author of the Anime Encyclopedia.
I think Tezuka, like many other people in Japan, was trying to work out, you know, what this Cold War thing was and whose side should the Japanese be on? I mean, you know, Japan had been defeated by the Allied powers, and now two of the Allied powers were facing off against each other. And if you look at Metropolis, you'll see it seems to be half American. Every now and then you see kind of American architecture kicking around, especially kind of Art Deco architecture, and half of it seems to be this kind of brutalist Soviet artwork going on in the background. Because at the time Tezuka was writing, he was confused about which side he should be on.
That confusion is reflected in the visual design of the new film, but Rentaro definitely favors the American influence.
It's the sort of like a visual style of the American 30s, things like in the style of the buildings and like in the future, but there are zeppelins flying in the film. So it's in a future setting, but I wanted to include something like a nostalgia of the 30s, American 30s.
Nostalgia extends to the film's jazz score, which features the director playing bass clarinet. Metropolis also juxtaposes modern and traditional animation techniques, says author Jonathan Clements.
So what you often get in the Metropolis movie is the backgrounds are computer animated and shiny and incredibly detailed and very much like live action, whereas the foreground is very, very cartoony and very like the original Tezuka manga.
Those original comic books include features that have become trademarks in anime: big eyes and wild hair. Clemens says Tezuka was influenced in part by Max Fleischer's Betty Boop cartoons.
He realized when he was drawing manga that the eyes are the most important part of the face for conveying emotion. And so the bigger the eyes are, the easier it is with a very limited medium of ink and page to convey what people are thinking. Another feature, which started off in the manga business and slowly came across into the anime business, is hair color. It becomes very difficult to tell the characters apart because everybody's got black hair. So characters were differentiated in different ways. Quite often they have quite outlandish hairstyles, but also they're given different colored hair.
While Metropolis includes many of the features typical of such commercial Japanese cartoons as the popular Pokemon TV show, the film's storyline is far more complex. And Jonathan Clements says that complexity may hurt Metropolis's chances for success in the American market.
If you're looking for an audience of millions, like the Pokemon audience, you need to find something that you know you can sell to a much wider sector of the American public. But the problem is that for a lot of people, what makes anime interesting is its Japanese-ness, and if you try and appeal to a mass market, it loses much of what makes it interesting in the first place to its fans.
Metropolis's director Rintaro has a reputation for understanding the business of anime and for delivering his products on time and on budget. But the bottom line for this old man of anime, as he's known in Japan, is that animation is a very unique artistic expression.
Animation is something, just a drawing is a still image, and something that should not move actually moves. And that's really reflecting the human imagination, and that's really something specialty of animation.
Out of respect for the man who created the original drawings that inspired him, Rintaro is billing his new film as Osamu Tezuka's Metropolis. After it opens in theaters tomorrow, Metropolis will be released in March as a special edition DVD. For NPR News, this is Beth Accomando in San Diego.
There's artwork from Metropolis on NPR's website, npr.org.